This is Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Hello. So this episode is going to drop on Christmas Day and also Hanukkah, the first day of Hanukkah starting in the evening. And we want to say Merry Christmas to those who celebrate and Happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate Hanukkah. And hoping that your holiday season is going well. We are going to be talking about connection today. I'm especially interested in connection because it's something that I've been exploring in my own personal development and my connection with my kids and others as well, but mostly just really focusing on my connection with my kids. And we're just going to talk about connection. What does it look like? And how do we as coaches help our clients with connection, strengthening connection with themselves and also others? And anything else that comes up, because that's just how we roll on this podcast. So Erin, what comes up for you when you think about connection?
When I think of connection, I think of a few things. First, that connection is a process and it's developed over time, whether that's with ourselves or with one another or with nature or with animals, whatever it may be. So connection is a process. Also, connection is intentional and mindful. So it's something that we can continue to lean into and develop skills around so that we can grow our connections with others and ourselves. So, you know, there's a lot to lasting connections. You have the history of one's relationships, how one continues to grow and change, and then how one repairs when harm is done or not. So those are the initial things that come to mind for me when I think of connection. And I just want to put out there to the world that on this Christmas and Hanukkah, I am incredibly grateful for LaShawn and our connection we've developed over the past year, from colleagues to friends, through, you know, a deepening of our relationship through both of those things, through the process and the time, as well as the intention we put into each other and ourselves. So having a deep relationship with someone is such a gift. And so this Christmas and Hanukkah, I feel so much gratitude for the gift of the connection with you, LaShawn, and how that will continue to evolve and grow. What are your thoughts on connection as an entry point?
Well, likewise, I feel deep appreciation for our connection. And I do agree with you on connection, on it being a process. And I do feel like that's a really good example. Like our friendship grew from a mutual curiosity and desire to do a podcast. And then we worked together on a podcast, and it was very like kind of business oriented, colleague, but friendly, amicable. But I think as the months and time went on, we developed a strong connection because we were both vulnerable with each other. And I want to say that vulnerability is such an important piece in connection. And it's not just, you know, connection with others, but connection with ourselves as well. That vulnerability, that ability to let down your guard and reveal parts of yourself that you might be worried that other people may not accept or that they may not understand. And so I think vulnerability really does deepen connection. That's one thing that comes to mind. I think about Brené Brown and how she talks about courage and how she talks about vulnerability as being key to making a connection with someone. And if I think about how we might put on like a persona, like a public persona to people, a persona of having it together, being independent, that seems to be a very common theme in American culture, especially among adults, just having this air or this appearance of independence. And there also seems to be expectation to be independent. And we have talked about how it's important to be interdependent and not independent or dependent. There's a lot of connection to vulnerability, interdependence, and also just being willing to show your authentic self to another person. I think that's where connection deepens. And when it comes to being connected to ourselves, I think that when we suppress certain emotions, certain feelings that we have around things, like, for example, in my case, anger is just not something that I allow myself to express. And so when I'm not giving myself that opportunity to be vulnerable, because expressing anger for me is vulnerable, because for whatever reason, the way that I was brought up, anger just wasn't an acceptable emotion to show. And so there would be negative consequences to expressing anger when I was a child. And so I internalized that. And so I developed defenses against showing anger. So recently I've been going through this challenge with another coach. Actually, she's been on our podcast, Coach Geneva Livingstone. She did a challenge on rage tapping. And one of the things that I noticed about this is that I am not in touch with my own anger. And it was really, it was a challenge for me to be vulnerable enough and feel safe enough to express anger. And so that just comes back to vulnerability and how important it is to be vulnerable, not only with others, but also with yourself and those parts of yourself that you may be hiding from other people or hiding even from yourself, and how that can be really liberating and empowering when you can be vulnerable with yourself and allow those parts of yourself that you have denied or that you're suppressing to come out, of course, when you feel safe. So those are some things that I think about when I think about connection. Erin, anything coming up for you?
I love the word vulnerability and how you used it in this context. And I think it is such a key word to connection, like you said, with ourselves and with others. And I love that you shared your personal story about anger, because I have worked with a lot of mostly women who in grief and loss really grapple with how anger is showing up in their grief and what that might look like and how it might be different from the past, and just really a struggle to process anger, because it's typically been an emotion that people who identify as female have had less access to. Usually, you know, it's been women who get angry may have, for lack of a better word, some mental health concerns, and then men can get angry and that's a manly thing to do, kind of thing. So it's no fault to the people in the system. That's the system we're all swimming in. But I did want to highlight that, because that also is such a heavy, heavy layer to connection and meaning making, is all the social structures and the societal norms that we all swim in as we navigate connection. Without those, our connection with others, I think, would be much deeper. Sorry, I want to take a step back. Not without those, with those shifted, with those changed, I think connection would be a lot deeper with others. And it would also likely come a little bit easier, because our mind, soul, body are not constantly trying to guess, like, what's the social norm in this setting, even within a family system, right? Like, what's the social norm here? What's acceptable? What's not? And when you're in that state of trying to ask those questions, that can be really challenging, because you are trying to be mindful, which is so necessary, like I said, for connection, which I brought up earlier in the podcast. On the other hand, there has to be some acquiescing, some letting go of that piece of oneself, or the expectation of what's the norm, to be able to show up authentically. And showing up authentically is also a process, just like connection. But I do think that to be able to show up authentically, that allows us to have more meaningful connections, deeper connections. And it does allow us to repair when there's harm from a genuine lens rather than from what might be expected. So when I think of connection and vulnerability together, I think of this extra layer of societal norms and how that may hinder our abilities to access higher levels of connection, deeper, more meaningful relationships. On the other hand, when you know that, right, when you start to work with that, you can work with that and employ skills that you can use for yourself that might help deepen your connection, whether that's with yourself or with others. So when we talk about deepening our connection with ourselves, that can include everything from music to exercise to journaling to art. Those are just some examples. And then deepening connection with others is sharing in that vulnerability, engaging in those conversations that are beyond surface level, even doing some of those connection activities that maybe help you deepen your connection with yourself, doing those with others, doing those in community. So there are a lot of resources and skills that people can use when they want to deepen connections and want to grow in their vulnerability and authenticity with others and themselves. Sometimes when we do have the skills, we think we can start to use those in family dynamics or other dynamics, and that can be another challenge as well. So it's definitely being compassionate with oneself as part of this process of connection and meaning making as one is navigating maybe traditionally difficult relationships. They aren't going to shift. The patterns of behavior aren't going to change. But if you're working on connection, you're changing, right? And if you're working on your vulnerability and authenticity, you're changing. And so there is sometimes a level of expectations that just subconsciously may come along with that. You may be thinking, oh, my family at the holidays, this is real. They can really know me now. But when you show up as a different you, or you show up a little bit different, that can be really jolting to them if they haven't been, you know, doing that type of personal work too. So it's a very complicated thing. And I know, you know, on Christmas and Hanukkah today, and just with the holiday season, this type of connection and deepening our connections with ourselves and with others is really the purpose. One of the key purposes of these celebrations. And yet it can get lost in the noise of everything. So I don't know, LaShawn, what would you add here with connections and the holidays and anything else that came up for you?
So much came up for me, especially related to systems and norms. I think that that can get in the way of connection. I think that could actually kill connection, because when we are focused on, you know, doing things right and doing the way things are supposed to be and playing a role, I think that takes us further and further away from authenticity and further away from vulnerability. Because I really do see systems and roles and norms, they all have their place, yes, but I do think that they can also be used as armor or ways to create barriers between people. And I do think that roles and systems and traditions can also give people a sense of security, which then allows them to be vulnerable as well. So I think that it can work in different ways, depending on the individual and depending on how it plays out in the group. But my experience has been that often norms, traditions, systems, roles, those things tend to impede connection and make it difficult for people to break down those barriers and just be present with each other and appreciate each other as you are, rather than, are you playing the role the way that you're supposed to? Then I will appreciate or acknowledge or connect. There's no really connection there, but just acknowledge or appreciate. And it's very conditional. So conditions, systems, roles, traditions, those can get in the way of connection. And so one thing that I would like to explore is, what is connection? One thing that we did talk about is process, the process of connection. Erin, you brought in some really great tools that one can use to be more connected with themselves, music, art, expression, that, and also doing that with other people can lead to connection. We know that connection has to do with vulnerability, process, being present, mindful. And I also want to put in the idea of compassion and being compassionate with ourselves and also others, and allowing for mistakes, allowing for awkwardness, allowing for stumbling, fumbling, trying to figure things out. Because change, any time that you are deciding to do something differently, as Erin, you pointed out, it can be jarring for your family or for those who are not doing the work to be curious or vulnerable and focus on connection. If you're focusing on connection and you're focusing on being authentic, and prior to this change that you've made, you've been putting on this persona, and you take that persona away and you're vulnerable among people that you're usually this persona, then you want to give yourself that grace and that compassion, knowing that people are going to resist change. They're going to react to a change, especially if you have been putting on a persona before, because not feeling safe and not being able to be vulnerable. So compassion, I think, is really important. And as I said before, in that compassion is also grace, grace for yourself and grace for others. And if you see changes in another person, then that is also an invitation to talk to them about what changed. You know, oh, I noticed that you did this differently than you did last year, or I noticed that you aren't as talkative as you were before. You know, is anything up? You know, you could ask that question. One is you're noticing. So that is sending the message to the person that you see them. And if you say, I noticed that you aren't as talkative this time as you were last time we saw each other, anything up? Then you're giving them the invitation to then put down their guard and say, oh, I'm having a hard time. Or they could also put up their guard and say, oh, no, I'm fine. And then depending on your relationship, you could say, okay, that's fine. But if you know you wanted to talk later, or if you're not really fine, then, and that brings me back to our guest that we had, where we were talking about that acronym FINE, feelings inside not expressed. So that could be another thing. Oh, are you sure? Maybe you're, you know, have some feelings inside you're not expressing. And just being really open and curious with the person rather than being like you're interrogating them or something like that. So I think it's a fine line. But one thing that I would say is really important in connection is compassion and grace, and also allowing yourself and the others space to adjust to any changes in the way that you're interacting, because it's a process and processes are sometimes messy. Any thoughts, Erin? Yeah.
I really like how you ended that with connecting the process to the messiness and adding in that level of grace and compassion. That's part of the process, because it's never going to be perfect, never going to be ideal. And so that makes me think of too, going into your Christmas Day, Hanukkah evening today, you know, where can you have a game plan before you go that may help your own well-being? If you, for example, are somebody who tends to really thrive on and want those deep conversations with people and deep connection with people, and yet you're typically not going to get that from your family or whomever you are celebrating the holidays with, just letting yourself feel and know that before, and just sitting with that and processing that, maybe even grieving it a little bit, can be a helpful tool as you, you know, go into the holidays surrounded by other people that maybe you are not as often in contact with or see in person as often. And so that's one example of a game plan. Another idea is, you know, where can you get your connection that you might need before going into the holiday? So is that through a friend? Is that through a partner? Is that through just you observing in nature, observing the senses that you are noticing? Those are also skills that you can use before as well as during the event of connecting with others. And the other thing is, if you know that your system is typically one to get overloaded by noises and being around a lot of people, and that's just not a good fit for your mental health, how can you have a game plan for how you remove yourself from the situation, or even start to notice when things are ramping up inside of you before they escalate too far? And maybe that includes just going on a walk, or, you know, tapping is another exercise. And you brought that up with the rage tapping, and then the positive intelligence, you know, rubbing your fingers together, just something to kind of bring you back into a more mindful state. And let's say your plan falls completely apart and it goes awry and connection is almost the opposite thing of what's happening. What then? That's a challenging thing. And sometimes, you know, we do feel those bigger emotions such as anger, maybe rage, or maybe sadness or sorrow, or a combination of those. So how can you support yourself in those moments? Maybe it's taking some time away and then coming back to repair if anything is needed to repair. And also letting what is be what is, and let what is out of your control be completely out of your control, and let what is within you and in your locus of control continue to grow. Or I picture this like little light flickering, and it gets brighter as the strategies are used, or this little seed in yourself, and as the anger ramps up and the people around you might be frustrating, it just grows and grows and grows, like it's gonna burst, but it's not ready yet, right? It's not ready to do that. So it's containing that in some way that feels healthful and helpful to oneself. So we're talking a lot about connection, you know, with this being a holiday, and we know that during the holidays, there are a lot of people around. And I do want to highlight, especially in my work with, you know, grief, sometimes our connection is all lost. We may not have any living family members. We may have very few human connections due to traumatic circumstances and other circumstances. So, you know, connection, it may be something that one is really trying to find within oneself and is not in a place necessarily to really grow connections with others. Not saying that that can't happen. I've just seen that it just maybe isn't the right time, right? Or to focus on connection. And so really going back to LaShawn's word, grace, giving yourself grace as a griever at the holidays when it comes to connection, giving yourself time, soothing yourself, I think of blankets and like warmth in some way, and really just helping yourself feel what you need to feel in a way that feels healthy to you as well. So for those who are grieving a loss, please know that you are loved. You are supported in other spaces as well. And if you're, you know, really struggling this time of year, please feel free to reach out. You can reach out to, you know, me specifically with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching or providers in your area. So there are a lot of layers with the holidays, and I just wish everybody a chance for peace and prosperity and love as they go through this time where, you know, we're talking about the layers of connection, and there's so many layers we've highlighted so far. And then that is compounded with the layers of everything else within the holidays. So really hold yourself with love.
And that's so important, holding oneself with love. And the other thing that I would like to mention as well is the idea that if connection isn't happening, that that's okay too. Connection is not something that can be forced. And I think that's really important to understand as well, to get into a space in yourself when you are gathering with family or loved ones or whomever you celebrate with, just having it in your mind that it's okay if the connection isn't happening. It's okay if you feel angry. It's okay if you feel isolated. They have a space too. And it's not like if it's not happening that you're doing something wrong, or that, you know, that's something that needs to be fixed. That's another thing that I think is really important for a connection to happen, is to hold the intention of allowing whatever happens and trying not to change whatever that is. Of course, if you're in a situation where you feel threatened or you feel unsafe, obviously we're not saying to you, oh, you know, just let that happen. Please do what you need to do to take care of yourself. Self-care is so important, especially during the holidays. And that's another thing that Erin did such a great job of, offering suggestions for how one can go into a situation where they're in, you know, the company of people who may not be safe to be authentic around, and having that plan, I think, is really important as well. But most important, I think, is with anything, when we are trying new things and we are considering different ways of being, it's really important, as Aaron said, to hold yourself in a space of love. And that means not feeling the pressure to change it. And that's something that I think can allow you to be in a space of change, and also not have that extra pressure to change how you feel or the other is being or other people are being, and give yourself space as well to decompress or to regroup. That's another thing that I think is really important when we are going into the holidays, as it is, you know, Christmas and Hanukkah. You might be doing things with friends and family, and it is important to have that plan. So if it's getting too much, if I'm overstimulated, if I'm feeling like I need a little space, what can I do? Maybe go outside for a breath of fresh air, if that's possible. Or I have a friend who likes to make herself busy in the kitchen so that she can kind of, stay, have her own space.
My mom does that.
Yeah. Where, you know, and I do that too. Actually, I do that too. I make myself busy in the kitchen as well, just kind of getting stuff ready. And as long as I'm doing something, then I don't feel that discomfort of just, you know, the awkwardness of trying to carry on a conversation with someone I only see once a year. And then, you know, as Aaron was saying also, there are things that we can do in the moment, like using tools that Aaron brought up with the positive intelligence, with getting present in your body. Because when we are present in our body, when we draw attention to our, you know, our five senses, we're seeing things, or maybe we're looking at the lights, the Christmas lights or the holiday lights, or we can do that with food as well. Like when we're eating, we can really savor the flavors, the different flavors of holiday food. We can allow ourselves that little break in the hustle and bustle of holiday gatherings, where we can just take a break within the busyness of the time and really focus on those senses. That can help too. That allows you to, and tapping well as well. Tapping, it doesn't have to be like visible. Like people don't have to really know that you're tapping. You can tap. It's what we call the karate chop. The outside of your hand, just where your pinky is. And you can just kind of tap that like very subtly. There's also ways that you can access the parasympathetic system, nervous system, that will help you, that will lower your cortisol levels and really help you find peace and calm in chaotic situations. So there are a lot of things that we can do to lower our guard and to be able to experience connection. But of course, the first thing that we want to do is just make sure that we're safe, because connection requires security. It requires safety, feeling safe with the person or ourselves in order to be vulnerable, open ourselves up so that we're not harmed. What are your thoughts, Aaron?
So as you were talking, I did a little bit of the peaky rest with my fingers, and I was just listening with closing my eyes, and just felt my nervous system soothe, that I could breathe a little more evenly. And it just made me think of, well, how do I bring that peace to me when I'm in these situations? And I might try, I haven't tried this, but just sticking in one ear pod and listening to the palm, it's not even visible in my ear, and just taking a moment to listen. And I know listening is also helpful in other ways, and through other ways of listening to maybe the quietness around you or the sounds outside or things like that. But that might be something I personally try. And I loved how you started talking about, you know, this is, you have to have some restoration after the fact of going through whatever process you're going through as you're with others in the holiday. So that's something else that I really appreciated that you highlighted, LaShawn. And I think it's so true, is like, it's almost kind of like a full circle. It's like, how do you prepare before? What are you doing during? And then what are you doing after? That's often known for college students as a study method before, during, and after. So I think that's a studying our own contentment and our own ability to engage with our connection and our becoming that I think is so, so, so invaluable. So those are a few things that really came up for me. And then when I think of connection, I think you mentioned this earlier on about it not being forced. That is so true. And that is a hard lesson. I think I struggle with that a lot. It's like, well, shouldn't this be happening? Why isn't this happening? And so there is this level of letting go that we talked about earlier on in the podcast that I want to circle back to here at the end, when we can kind of hold things a little more lightly, you know, hold ourselves with a little more love, hold the situation a little more lightly, things are going to go probably better than if we try to force things. And if we start to treat ourselves poorly by engaging in ways we know are not us, or by engaging in ways that are harmful to us, or by engaging in ways that are not in alignment with where we're at. So I think it's such an important concept, all of what you highlighted there, LaShawn. So I wanted to go back to that. So I don't know at this time, are we close to coaching nugget of wisdom, or are there other elements that we should explore?
I'd like that you brought up listening, and I wanted to touch on that for a minute and how important it is to listen, not only to others, but also to ourselves as well. Listening to our bodies, listening to our hearts, you know, what does our heart need? What does my mind need? What does my spirit need? And just tapping into the silence and giving yourself space to listen, and also listening to others as well, putting aside the need to take your turn, or putting aside the need to be understood, but to understand others. That, I think, is one of the key elements of connection, is the listening piece. And I do want to bring that back up again, how important it is to listen. And we talked about that in other episodes as well. And I believe that when you feel heard, it's easier to tell your story. If you feel like the person is waiting for their turn and they're not really listening to you, then it's harder to reveal things that may result in deeper connection, deeper understanding. So being able to listen, to really, really listen. And also, your intention would be, I am listening to this person. I'm not just listening to what is said, but what is not being said. That's something we do as coaches. We listen to what is not being said. And there's so much richness in what is not said. And if you really take the time to listen to your loved ones, listen to the people who are around you, you might hear something that you were not aware of before because of the noise that's around the holidays, or around the gathering, or around, you know, your own life as well. So taking the time to really focus on another person and focus on another part of yourself frees you and opens up places and truths that may not have been revealed before because of so much noise. So listening is so important. And I would say we could definitely circle into, go ahead.
I realized I left out one other thing too. Yeah. I love how you framed listening. And one of the biggest challenges, or biggest, I think, problems when trying to make connection with oneself and with others is assumptions as well. And, you know, we make assumptions based off of patterns. So it's always like this. So it's probably like that. Well, there is some truth. There is a layer or a nugget of truth, or we talk about nuggets of wisdom in that often, but there's a huge space around that for a broader truth, for more truth, for something that may be different. Just how LaShawn talked about how we listen, and listening, there may be something different that we didn't notice. And so assumptions, I mean, I struggle with them when I am making connections with family, but I think that it's never helped, right? It's never been something that has fed meaningful connections. So when you notice you're making assumptions, it's a good time to just sit and go back to what LaShawn talked about with listening. And yes, I'm sure what's going on around you, people, it's a human behavior. People do make assumptions. And again, you're not in control of the assumption making that may be going on in the room. You can let some, as our friend Kyla would say, you can let something bigger than you take that on. You can put that in the middle of the family or the universe and let them and let something bigger take that on. You don't have to hold that. And I think that's such a powerful statement that she always makes. And I have found so much truth and love in that as well. So with you talking about listening, it just made me think about assumptions. So I just wanted to run that in there too.
I'm so glad you brought up assumptions. That's such an important thing. And one thing that comes up for me when you were saying assumptions is the stories that we tell about ourselves and the people in our lives, especially around the holidays, because there's stories that we tell about ourselves and the people in our lives, and connection can be hindered by those stories. If you have a story that you have about a relative, they're always this or they're always that, or you expect, it's like the assumptions, the patterns. We expect our relatives never to change, even though we're changing and they're changing as well. When we tell ourselves, hey, you know, what story am I telling about this holiday season? What story am I telling about myself? What story am I telling about the relatives that I'm going to interact with, or the loved ones or the people that I'm going to interact with? And then we can put that in the middle, as Erin said, you know, not carry those stories. Maybe before we interact with those people, we can say, okay, today, before I go to so-and-so's house, I'm going to put those stories in the middle. I'm going to leave them there. And I'm going to see what will be revealed by being curious, by wondering, I wonder how so-and-so has changed. I wonder how so-and-so is going to be today, because I don't know how so-and-so is going to be. So letting go of those assumptions, letting go of those stories that we tell about ourselves, situations, and others can really leave room for connection and for surprises. And they could be delightful. And they don't have to be, but it's just a possibility. So yeah, I love that you brought up assumptions. That's so important, because assumptions can and do, for the most part, hinder connection, because we are not looking at the person or the situation as it is. We're looking at it as it was, or as we expect it to be. And then there comes expectations and assumptions kind of go hand in hand as well. So yeah, I think that that's so important to keep those things in mind as possible barriers to connection, if that's something that we want to experience more of in our lives, not just on the holiday season, but not just during the holiday season, but in our lives in general. So I do think, yeah, this is a good time to circle to coaching nuggets of wisdom. Erin, do you have one in mind, or would you like me to share mine?
Yeah, I think I can go. So we started the podcast from this idea of connection as a process and kind of intentional skills and mindfulness. So I guess my coaching nugget of wisdom then is maybe just looking at the process you've been involved with so far with your connections, specifically for, you know, this holiday, but also maybe outside of that. And then two, just really reflect on, you know, what were the skills and maybe mindfulness strategies that helped you engage from a place of love and in a place of curiosity. So those are my questions.
Love those questions. And I have also going to add some questions as well. As we have done in this episode, what is connection? Define it for yourself. What is connection? And where have you felt the deepest connections in your life? And where would you like to see that, more of that? And how can you increase that experience in your life during the holidays and into the new year? Speaking of which, we will be taking a little break for the new year, and we will be back in January 8th, I believe, is when our next episode will be.
Eighth.
Yeah, we record it before it drops, obviously. It's not like it's streaming. So yeah, so we'll have our next episode on the 8th. So I want to wish our listeners a very, very happy start to your new year. And Yeah, we hope that your holiday season will be one that will have some moments of connection.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.